All right, let's get our Bibles out today. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. As I told you before, we're in this series in Proverbs. We titled it, A Little Wisdom Goes What? A Long Way, a study in Proverbs 10. And there's so much to get out of just one chapter of Proverbs. It's a very short book of the Bible. I encourage all of you to read through it. If I'm not incorrect on this, I think there's only 31 chapters in the whole book. You can read that in an afternoon easily. There is so much for you to glean from just one chapter of it that a whole series is probably not even going to do it justice. But here's our next step in Proverbs chapter 10. As I was studying this, I found a few themes. And the theme that I want to talk about today is going to be covering being teachable. Following instruction. Are you the type of person? Here's the question that I want to really wrap this lesson up. Is, are you able to be taught? Are you able to follow good instruction? Are you able to see a command, recognize its worth, and follow through on it? Or are you one of those people that just continually run into the brick wall over and over and over again? The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting what? Different results. And you never listen to anybody's instruction. If you're here this morning and you struggle with that, or maybe you know somebody who struggles with it, hopefully these lessons are going to help you out a little bit. I'll tell you a little bit about my son. He's here on the third row. Speaking of people who have trouble following instructions. I'll give you a few stories about him. The first one was we were over at my mom and dad's house, and I have something on my nose, Miss Dinah. Okay. She was doing this with her nose, and I thought, oh, no. That would distract from the sermon quite a bit. We were over at my mom and dad's a while back, and my mom and dad had this old trampoline that one of their neighbors gave them, and it has this huge hole in it. I mean, it's a big hole. It's like this long. It's about this wide. Now, a guy like me is not going to fall through. A guy like me, maybe my leg goes through and I twist an ankle. But, you know, a kid my son's size, he's going to jump right through that hole, Miss Nina. So he's jumping around the trampoline, and I say, son, don't go near the hole. He looks right at it, starts jumping towards the hole. I said, son, don't go near the hole. You're going to fall through it and hurt yourself. He starts jumping towards the hole. Son, please stop. Don't jump through the... And he jumps right through that sucker. Now, he doesn't get hurt, so the lesson I was trying to teach him didn't really work out. He just jumped through it and started laughing, right? But the point was, is that I gave him good instruction that was meant to protect him and to keep him from getting hurt, right? To keep him from having some injury. And he didn't care. He just kept jumping right through the hole. Another situation that we've run into is when my son plays with little toys and stuff that aren't really toys. How many of you have ever had your kids more interested in regular household items than their own toys? Well, my son does this all the time, and one day he had a clothespin. April, do you remember this? He was playing with the clothespin, and I kept saying, son, the clothespin's going to hurt you if you put it on the wrong part of your body and let go, right? Don't put this on your nose. Don't put it on your ear. Don't clip it on your finger. It's going to hurt. I told him over and over and over again, and he was just playing, and all of a sudden, what happens? He starts screaming because he's got the clothespin stuck to his finger, Brother Billy, and he's running around screaming. And I say, son, don't play with the clothespins. You're going to get hurt if you get it on the wrong part of your body. And then the other day, we were out playing in the wheelbarrow. We filled it up and let the kids kind of swim in it. We don't have a pool. What are we going to do, right? So the kids were swimming in the wheelbarrow, and he didn't want to get in at first. He just wanted to stand on the end of it. Now, most of you know that a wheelbarrow has a connecting piece at the front, right in front of the tires, that connects one piece of the wood handle to the other. It's a metal piece. And he wanted to stand on this piece and try to climb into the front of the wheelbarrow from the front. And I said, son, don't do that. You're going to slip and hurt yourself. Don't do that. You're going to slip and hurt yourself. Does that matter, Miss Jennifer? No, he keeps trying to climb into the front of this wheelbarrow, and he slips, and he hits his little shin bone right on the top of that piece of metal. And what does he do? He screams and cries, and he comes over and gets in my lap. And Ken, what can I say? I say, son, I tried to tell you. don't climb on that. You're going to get hurt. Now, my son's 2 years old. So you can expect from time to time, when I tell him not to do something, he's going to have to work it out for himself and find out that it's going to hurt him, that it's going to end up bad if I don't do what Dad says. He's two. So sometimes he doesn't listen to the instruction that his mother and I give him. We can put up with it when they're two. Can I get an amen? The problem comes when you become a teenager or a young adult or middle-aged, or you're an older person. You're an elderly person. How should I say that? See, I got one person says, oh, one person, I don't know. I don't know what to say to please you guys. All the ages that you can go past the point where you really can't understand something. You're not 2 years old anymore, and people tell you, don't do this, it's going to hurt you, and you do it anyway. You're not 2 years old. You're getting good instruction. And in this case, we're going to talk about good biblical instruction. People are reading scriptures to you, preaching scriptures to you, going through Bible studies, sitting down and counseling with you. And it's all scripture and it's all God-breathed. And it's all good and it's all useful and it's all true and it's all right. And you get that instruction and you get those directions and you get those commandments. And just like my two-year-old son, you're still jumping through the hole, playing with the clothespins, trying to climb in the wheelbarrow the wrong way. You're not listening. Some of you aren't even getting it. Sometimes when the instruction comes, it just bounces off of you like you're Superman or something. Boom, boom, boom. Good instruction just bounces right off. You don't even take it in. You don't even receive it. You never even truly understand it. And then some of you, and this is the worst part in my opinion, some of us, we receive it and we acknowledge it and we go, that's good stuff. That was an awesome sermon. That was a great sermon series. That was a great passage I read last night. My devotion was out of this world. But then you don't act on it. You accept it as good. You accept it as true. Something that would really change your life, that would really make a difference. But then you do nothing with it. To me, that's the saddest part, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Our main idea is this. Caitlin, if you can bring that up. I want you to repeat after me. Christians must learn to receive and follow through on instruction. Especially instruction from the Lord. Now listen, folks. You can disagree with a person. You can disagree with someone's opinion of your situation. You can disagree with your pastor's opinion, your husband's opinion, your wife's opinion, your employer's opinion, a friend's opinion, if it's an opinion. But when somebody breaks out the Word of God and begins to teach it and give you wise instruction from the Word, from God's lips to your ears, amen, then you don't have a choice to say, well, that's an opinion and mine's better, right? Then you've got to acknowledge this is a command or instruction from Almighty God. It's for my own good. It's got to be trying to protect me from something or open up something to me that I'd never seen before. It's got to be there to give me some hope, some forgiveness, you know, some peace. There's got to be some reason. Because if there wasn't a good reason for it, God wouldn't have put it in the Bible. You can disagree with that all you want, but that is my take on it. When I am quoting Scripture, or counseling with Scripture, or preaching Scripture, or you're reading Scripture, or you're sitting down with a friend or a family member and they're trying to counsel with you and they break out a Bible, or they quote a Scripture, you better listen up. Because that's good and wise and helpful instruction, and you need to follow through. You need to take it in, receive it, look to the person next to you and say, receive it. And then look to the person next to you and say, act on it. Right? So the main idea says we want to learn to receive and follow through on instruction, especially when it's from the Lord. So sometimes, Miss Ann, you could give good advice. And sometimes your opinion is better than my opinion. So sometimes your advice is good advice. But every time God's advice is good and better than yours. Every single time. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to jump right in. This is our first point today about receiving instruction. This is Proverbs 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will what? Receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. The wise will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Now take a look at your notes today. If you picked up the notes, I've defined four words. The wise is defined as intelligent, skillful, artful, and cunning. Do you want to be intelligent and artful and skillful and cunning? Or do you want to be a fool? You know what it says a fool means? A fool is defined as silly. And not silly in the good sense of the term, like you're funny and enjoyable. Silly in the sense that you don't know what you're talking about. Silly in the sense that you make no sense. Silly in the sense that everything you say is ridiculous and not useful to anybody, including yourself. Can I get an amen? Do you want to be wise or do you want to be silly? I want to be wise. I want to be wise. And look at the word receive. It means to take or accept. Right? When you receive communion, you're taking or accepting communion and all that it stands for, right? So to receive commands means that you don't just hear the command, right? You actually take the command in. You take the instruction in. It actually enters through your little wall and penetrates your brain and your soul, and you acknowledge it as good. This is something good. Now, to be someone who is prating means to talk foolishly. That means everything that you say is nonsensical, right? Alright. So I know of three types of people when we talk about this. People who don't receive. Now, I'm sure that with all the creative minds in here, you could think of many more. But as I've counseled and I've spent time with people, preached sermons, been around different churches and organizations, events, different age groups, I find that people fall into three categories. You ready for them? These aren't in your notes. These aren't on the screen, but listen up. Some people just love drama. Some people love when things are going wrong. They love when things are bad. They love when things aren't going right. They may act like they don't like it because they talk about it a lot. Are you following me this morning? But truthfully, they don't want advice. They don't want Scripture. They don't want to hear what God has to say because they don't want to get better. They don't want their life to get better. They don't want the situation to get better. They personally don't want to make any changes. They just like attention. They like attention. They love drama. They love when things are going bad. Have you ever heard of the people who go to prison and then when they get out of prison, they throw a brick through a plate glass window so they can go back in prison because they don't know how to operate outside? That's what this is like. People who are like this, they don't know how to live without drama in their life. They don't know how to have peace. They don't know how to have any serenity. They don't know how to have joy and happiness. All they know is I like feeling miserable and I want everybody to know about it and feel sorry for me. Now, can I get an amen if you know this happens? All right. So when this person comes and they say, I've got a problem, Pastor, let's talk. I give them Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. They sit in sermons and, you know, they've heard it all from the Word of God. But they don't care because they're not interested in getting better. And maybe there's somebody here today and you fall into this category of just loving the sorrow and the drama and things going wrong in your life because that's all you know. That's the only way you know how to live. And when you do get a good Scripture, it bounces right off, right? The truth, just the command, the instruction just bounces right off because you're not even interested in getting better. Well, today's the day for you, right? To change that behavior. The second type of person is this. The second type of person has more confidence in the problem than they do in Jesus Christ. They have more confidence in the problem than they do in Jesus Christ. They come and they say, I've got this serious issue and it's really complicated and I don't even know how to talk about it. It's so serious. And then you start talking and you go, man, I got this Scripture for you and I got this Scripture for you. And let's talk about what Jesus did here and let's talk about this Old Testament story and how God, you know, dealt with this situation. It's not hopeless. You can do it. But I'll tell you, Pastor, it's just so rough. It's so hard. It's so complicated. Just nothing ever goes right. Well, let me share this scripture with you. This can be done. With the Holy Spirit, it's possible. Jesus died so that this could be, lifted off of your back. You can do it. But Pastor, I'm telling you, I know the scriptures, they're great, but it's too tough. I mean, let's talk about it some more. See, these people have more confidence in the problem than they do in Jesus Christ. They believe the problem's too big for God. Hello? They believe the problem's too big for the Bible. The problem's too big for the preacher. All they really want to do is complain about the problem. So the Word of God, the instruction, I don't care how much you read, it bounces off. Maybe today you're here and you feel like the problem that you're struggling with, whatever the issue is, it's bigger than God. It's bigger than the Bible, bigger than Scripture, bigger than a sermon. It can't get better. And because you've walled yourself off like that, nothing that I say, nothing that you read in this Scripture is ever going to make a difference. It's just going to bounce off. Amen? Third type of person. We all know somebody like this. Maybe you are this person. They think they know it all. Okay, I'm a recovering know-it-all. I'm trying, Will. I'm better at receiving instruction and hearing the value of what someone's saying, especially when they bring it out in the Word. Now, I'll tell you that right now. I'm a recovering know-it-all because I don't really like your opinion too much. But if you bring the Bible out, hey, I'm going to try to learn and grow. Amen? I will never say to the Word of God, I'm smarter than you. But there's some folks, and maybe you're either a recovering know-it-all or you're still right in the middle of yourself, right? And when you have an issue or a problem, you come to somebody for advice and you say, this problem's huge and I just don't know how to deal with it. It always starts like, I just don't know what to do. And then, let me read you this scripture, Ken. I'm telling you, the Bible speaks to just what you're dealing with. Let's read this scripture. This is how you apply it. Let's pray together and go do it. Well, I was kind of thinking I'd do this. Well, I just thought you said you didn't know how to deal with it. Right? You don't know how to deal with it. It means you want advice or instruction, and I just gave it to you, but now you're disagreeing with the Word of God? You know better than God how to deal with the situation? See, folks, this is an old sin. It's called idolatry. But instead of worshiping a little false wooden idol, you're worshiping you. I've been there. I've done that. I understand it. Okay? So maybe you're here this morning, and your problem is that no matter what you hear from the Word of God or the preacher or during your prayer time or from a friend or a loved one, or even if you're reading the Bible, by yourself in the room. No matter what you hear, whatever instruction or command you hear, you know better. And it bounces right off because you built a wall. And that wall is idolatry. And you say, there's nothing the preacher can say. There's nothing the Scripture can say. There's nothing I can receive during my prayer time that's going to be better than what I can come up with. You're an idolater. You worship yourself. And you're never going to be able to receive instruction properly right there on the back. You're never going to be able to receive instruction properly because you've built that wall. And that is a wall of sin. It's idolatry, and you've got to break that. Today, the good news is that you can do that. All right. So, maybe you fall into one of these categories. Maybe you don't. I'm sure you know somebody who does. That's how this kind of thing always works, right? You start preaching and, if I were to ask you, how many people do you know somebody like that? Everybody raises their hand. You say, how many of you are like that? Whoop, nobody. Nobody has the problem, right? But we know somebody with that problem. Here's the thing. If you want to change, God will help you change. It's called the Holy Spirit. But you have got to start by being obedient and receiving that Word. You got to break that wall down, ask for forgiveness, and allow Him to actually penetrate your heart and your mind with those teachings. Because as long as they're bouncing off, they're not going to do you any good. So first thing you got to do is receive. Now listen to this in James chapter 1. I've got this on the screen, but if you want to turn in your Bibles, I encourage you to do so. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It's one of my favorite groups of passages in the Bible. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, what are you supposed to do with the implanted word? Receive it, right? So it says, do away with all the sin and receive this implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Listen, folks, you can't even get saved if you won't allow the word of God to penetrate. Can I get an amen on that? You can't do it. All right, so what you've got to do is you've got to receive this implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if you will receive it and then act on it and do something about it, the Scripture says you will be blessed in what you do. Look at the person next to you and say, you want to be blessed? Do the work. Do the work, all right? So let's take a look at the second one. This is going to transition us right into this one. Now, some people, as we established at the very beginning, they hear the word and receive it. They acknowledge it as good. I would say almost across the board, people that I encounter in the church are like this. Are you ready? People in the church value the word of God. They say, we believe the word of God is true. We believe that every word that's spoken out of the mouth of God is useful. We believe in the power of it, in the truth of it. We believe when the pastor preaches the word that it's good. I mean, we acknowledge it, but we don't actually want to do it. We value it in our minds, but we don't act on it with our bodies. Does that make sense? I mean, it's like this mental assent. You know, I agree with what you're saying, Pastor, but I really don't want to do the hard work. Now, I'm going to give you a little teaser for my next sermon series. I've kind of thrown this out a few times with a few people. Not good reviews so far. My next series is going to be on fasting. The whole series on fasting. And trust me, there's more than you've ever wanted to know about fasting that we're going to get into. But every time I've mentioned to anybody that we're going to do a sermon series on fasting, what do I immediately hear? Oh, not fasting. I can't do that. That's terrible. You know, just that attitude of there's just no way in the world I'm going to fast. But what if the Bible says you're supposed to? I mean, what if the Scripture teaches us that there is a valuable time in all of our lives, and they come up all the time, when you're supposed to fast? It's supposed to be natural and you're supposed to do it. How can a church respond? And I do the same thing, right? But how can a church respond in, ugh, I can't do that, right? You can preach it, but we ain't doing it. That's what I'm talking about here. Is you hear the words, you receive it, you know it's got to be true and good because it came out of the Bible and it comes from the Lord. But when it comes to actually doing it, hey, good luck, Pastor, getting anybody to follow that road, right? Okay, so Proverbs 10:17 on keeping instruction. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. But he who refuses correction goes... Think of the wide and narrow roads, right, that we talked about, right? If you're on the narrow road, you're in the way of life. If you're on the wide one, what? It's a path to destruction. This mimics that same Scripture. It says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. If you are not teachable, if you will not receive the instruction and the commands and act on them, this Scripture says you are going to go astray. You're going to move away from the way of life. And what's the opposite of life? That means you're going to move away from the way of life toward death. That's where you're headed if you cannot receive instruction from the Lord. Now let's take a look at the Scripture in the next one, Caitlin. This is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. It says, if you love me, Let's do that again. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. Now, notice how this starts, and it's very important, church. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father. All right, so how does that work? You say you love Jesus. That means you're going to follow His commands. You follow His commands, and He will pray to the Father. All right, now I want you to understand how that works, because if you break it down somewhere and you don't do one, something breaks down, then you don't get to the end of this verse. Okay? So, it insinuates that if you don't follow His commands, that you don't really love Him. And if you don't love Him and you don't follow His commands, then He's not going to... All right, you get it, right? You follow me. It says, He will pray to the Father and He will give you another helper. Who's He talking about, church? The Holy Spirit, referred to as the Spirit of truth. Now, there are some of you that say, you know, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to have the Holy Spirit. I know it's supposed to guide me. It's supposed to teach me. It's supposed to help me to follow these commands. But it just is not working. I don't even feel the Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? Maybe it's because you refuse to do anything Jesus ever asked you to do. Maybe it's because you refuse to even try. Maybe it's because you don't even acknowledge some of the things that Scripture has instructed you to do, and you've abandoned those and already gone astray. But yet you pray to God as if He's supposed to help you solve a problem or an issue when you're making no effort at all. Hello? Are you following me this morning, or you think I'm talking crazy? All right. All right, it says, He will give you another helper, and it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and what? Keeps them. It is He who loves me. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So who does Jesus manifest himself to? Those who love him. And those who love him follow his commands. So they receive the teaching, but then they act on the teaching. They do something about it. So maybe you're here this morning and listen, we kind of all fall into this category. Your own pastor falls into this category. If we will all be honest, there are things in the Scripture that it plainly teaches us to do, and we withdraw from it when we read it. We withdraw from it when we hear it. I mean, I even know the sermons when I preach them that people are just going to go, ugh. You know, ugh. Pray for my enemies, ugh. Wash some feet, ugh. Right? Right? And here we go. Follow commands. I mean, you know, do everything the Bible says to do. Ah, that's too much. You're asking too much. Fasting, ugh. Don't you get hungry when you do that? And then hurt your stomach? I mean, yeah, it won't hurt my stomach, but for some people, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. But how do we respond to those commands, church? Do we respond by just saying, yeah, it's a great sermon, Pastor. Those are great words of truth, but I'm not doing it? Or do we actually say, I'm looking forward to the Word. I'm looking forward to that sermon. I'm looking forward to this counsel that I'm going to get when I go see the pastor. I'm looking forward to my own Bible study. Because when I see that Word, when I read it, I want to take it in and I want to live it out. That's the way Christians ought to live. That's the wisdom that goes a long way in this sermon. Amen? We receive that instruction, and then we act on that instruction. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you an opportunity. The first is going to be to ask forgiveness, because there may be some of you that this stuff's just bouncing off of, right? You're not even receiving that Word. It's not even getting in because you've built up that wall. But there may be some of you, maybe even the majority of the people here, You value the Word of God and you suck it in every time it's preached or read, but you just refuse to act on it. And maybe that's the step that you need to take today. My prayers are with you. All of our prayers should be focused singularly on obedience to Jesus Christ this morning, receiving and acting on the Word of God. As I ask Jamie to come forward, he's going to share with us a last song. And I want you to remember the illustration of my son. He's 2 years old. He's learning and he doesn't know any better until I teach him. We're too old to be acting like two-year-olds spiritually. We're way too far ahead of that. Even the teenagers that are here today, you have no excuse. You're plenty old enough to read and understand the Word of God and act on it. So I pray that you follow through on that this morning.